This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Here we are at the live stage at Shell, and welcome to SEMA, everybody. And thanks to all our friends at Shell and Pennzoil for putting together an amazing display of cars. I'm Alan Taylor. I do a radio show and now a television show called The Drive. And our first guest up is my longtime friend, Barry McGuire. Everyone knows him. Here he is, Barry McGuire. How you doing, Barry?
How you doing, Alan? Good to see you. Well, we've shared a stage or two over the last 30 years.
Stage or 2,000.
Yeah. Always fun. Always fun.
Well, you know what? I will say, I look over to the side, and I don't see you anymore. I see.
Oh, you mean you're car crazy.
The car crazy stage.
Yeah, car crazy stage. Yeah, I did it. I did car crazy for 18 years.
18 years.
And that was enough. I had a long run, and it was great fun. I enjoyed every moment of it. Well, I got to tell you, walking in this morning and just walking in and out, having to run to the stage and start at 9 o'clock sharp to capture all the action, to be on that stage all day for 4 days in a row, and all the people I'm interviewing. And, I mean, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of cameras. It was live throughout the whole convention center, so there's a bit of pressure on that. It was fun, but, you know, there's a moment. Times change, and I am so enjoying it. It allows me to be with people. A whole lot more people walking around the show and talking and sharing stories and actually hanging up my own booth inside a little bit. It's kind of fun. You know? So, yeah, it's great.
So 28 years ago, I came to SEMA and I saw this McGuire's booth. And I thought, I use McGuire's products when I'm working on my cars. And I thought, McGuire's, that's the product I use. And then somebody said, yeah, that's Barry McGuire. And I went, you mean there's a man? There's a man named McGuire's, and then you know I wanted to meet this guy, and what an impact you've had on my life.
Well, I back at you. We had heard some of your broadcasts and thought, what a cool guy. So you were already on our radar screen. We hooked up and started guesting on her show and having so much fun. And then this Shazam, we had this idea: why don't you do your shows live remote from Pebble Beach?
Or Amelia Island, or wherever. The best times of my life.
Oh, that was fun.
Seriously.
But the show, your live show is about to start. We're still running wires through the bushes and everything. It was kind of archaic.
Those were the days, weren't they? Oh, my gosh.
Great fun and great passion. And there's nothing like live radio. I love all radio and TV, but live radio, there's a certain urgency sense, you know, visceral thing there. Yeah. The cars motoring by or drowning us out as we're talking on our microphones and stuff. It's kind of cool.
I'll never forget the time at your booth at Barrett Jackson when Jay Leno started his jet bike.
Oh, yeah.
And it drowned out everything. It was this jet engine starting
up. We often had Ed Lucas or somebody with coming through the microphones right above our heads with those deep voices.
Right.
We said, let's see, can we find a way to turn that speaker off? So, and we did a time or two. A
lot of fun. Well, and today, Revival Outside the Walls and a new television show.
A new TV show. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So?
We're launching a new TV show in February. Called Ignite Your Life. It's got a spark plug and kind of a cool logo, Ignite Your Life. But on a little different subject, although it's one that, I mean, we live every day of our
lives.
But there's enough chaos going on in the world today, and there has to be some answer to that. And this is what a godless society looks like. That's what we're experiencing. And Christians have just kind of turned their lights off and just let it happen, and it's time to kind of turn our lights back on. And God is a God of love, and we need a lot more love. I think no matter how far away you are from God, you want love. Everybody wants love right now. Where is it? And God's the source of love. So we're actually doing a car show amongst great cars, going riding in cars, going in great car collections. But instead of, imagine turning on Christian TV and instead of seeing a pastor or a church or somebody at a desk, two car guys or two lay people just having fun, laughing, talking about how much fun they are.
I love it.
Having, talking to people about God. And so it's a totally unique show called Ignite Your Life. It launches in February. And
that's yes, awesome.
It's fun. We're shooting.
Where will it be? Where will it be where people can find it?
It's going to be on Daystar TV. There's about four different networks it's going to be on.
Okay.
NRB TV and Daystar TV and GRB TV and several others. But anyway, it'll be out there. We're having fun. We're shooting the episodes now, and the interviews are just blowing me away about how much fun people are having, actually having fun, the fun part of their lives, sharing their faith and talking about how much fun God is, how good he is. So.
I know. You know what? I mean, when you start scratching the surface, you see just how much true faith people really have and how they're not afraid to share it if they're just brought out of their shell a little bit.
Well, the interesting statistic, I think, is that 86% of the people that are unchurched, they don't go to church, they might be atheists, they know the world's out of control now. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And they're actually wondering if there might be a God that can make sense out of the chaos.
Yeah.
And are actually looking for somebody to tell them. That's an amazing statistic. 86% of the people that don't know God, they're outside the church, actually would like to believe there's a God and are looking for somebody to tell them. That's opportunity. Hey, that's opportunity knocking.
Well, so it's called Ignite Your Life.
Yeah, and don't we preach? Okay. You just love on people and have fun. Of course, that's what you and I do all the time.
Yeah.
We just go out and love on car guys. That's what car guys do. I think car guys live Scripture, whether they know God or not, they're living Scripture better than a lot of Christians live, because it's all about car guys. Let's face it, car guys are special.
Yeah.
They're more giving and caring. And when I break down in one of my old cars, it's about 5 minutes before somebody else that's an old car guy is stopping by.
That's right.
I usually have two or three, and one's already crawling into my car. I mean, it's an unbelievable fraternity. It's global. I think the Car Hubby is the greatest fraternity in the world, and you and I get to see that up close and personal.
We live it.
And your cheerleaders for it. Talk
Absolutely.
About how cool the Car Hubby is. And
it is fun, and there's a lot of good people.
Well, it really is.
All right, I'm Alan Taylor from The Drive. I also work with ClassicCars.com, and we'll be right back with some more fun talk right here at the Pioneering Performance Stage.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
I get no doubt!
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I'm Alan Taylor, and welcome to SEMA, everybody. Barry McGuire, you've changed my life, and I know that us doing what we do on television and radio have helped to move people along in their lives.
Yeah, it's so much fun. The car hobbies actually happened in my lifetime. It really happened at the end of World War II. So it's just, the entirety of the car hobby, I've watched it happen. I think I've had a little bit to do with it. I was at the first SEMA show. I was at the before the SEMA show, 2 years before, when Noel Carpenter hosted a show. With
that was a trivia, by the way. What year was that?
Well, I'm even having trouble. So I think
they
it was early 60s.
Yeah, they said 63.
I think it was 63, the first show. And the guy that started the first show, Noel Carpenter, brought me a picture last year of me in my booth in 1963 with my black suit and my little skinny narrow tie, you know. And there it was. And talking about, you go back 50 years, you know, so I've been around a while, and I've watched this show grow. There was Edel Brock, and there was only about 12 of us at that show.
Right.
And to see it grow from that to what it is now, I got to tell you, it's been quite a ride to see SEMA come into its own and be what it is today, the largest automotive trade show in the world.
Unreal.
200,000 people from 110 countries here this week. Is that amazing?
Phenomenal.
Or what?
Let's move it forward then to where McGuire's is today, part of 3M, And or is it still running by itself? It's just its own brand.
No, we're still a family business, and we have a connection there. But they just say to us, "You're a family business. Keep doing what you're always doing."
I love it.
That you're talking about something that's really old news, 10 years old. We're still doing. We love what we do. We love. It's all family. We had over 30 countries represented at international sales conferences.
You put a Facebook post
and,
up,
and you know we had Pakistan, our partners from Pakistan and Turkey and Saudi. And we're all hanging out and having fun, loving each other. I said, you know, when you're car guys, it just breaks down all the barriers.
And you've known those people for all these years.
Well, lots of years. We're in about 200 countries. And so that's how, I mean, we really see the car hobby up close and personal. We're at just about every major car show every weekend in the world of all types and descriptions.
Wow.
Every weekend, all over the world. So we really see the hobby for what it is. And so we have pretty good credibility to say the car hobby, car guys are pretty special no matter where you find them.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
And they are ladies and guys. It's really great.
Anyway, your family is still doing so much with this hobby. I know your daughter, Nicole,
she puts on this wonderful car show, the Benedict Castle Concours in Riverside, California, in every March, April time period.
Yep.
And she has the best Pebble Beach quality cars from every genre of the hobby, from low riders to hot rods, the European classics, you name it, all there in one show, and raised about $300,000 for Teen Challenge
on that
one day. It's amazing. So she's out and about. Nicole's all over the place.
Here?
Picking out cars that she wants for a show for this year. So
if
she's having fun.
If you see her, ask her, tell her I want to get her on stage.
That would be great.
That would be so much fun.
She's having
grown up with these.
Chip off the old block.
With your kids, absolutely. So, fantastic. Hey, congratulations on all the success in your life, with your family,
When you hang out with the best people, you know, and there's no such thing as luck,
whatever it is.
And
no
they say the harder you work, the luckier you get. There is something to that. We've all worked hard. But if you live to live your life honoring God, he honors you back. That's just a principle you can't get away from.
No question about it. Thank you for teaching me some of that, too.
Thank you, Alan. You're awesome.
Well, there you go. Barry McGuire, Car Crazy, the Car Crazy world that he has started along with the television show and the websites and the car care products, McGuire's car care products I've used ever since I was a car painter many, many moons ago.
Yes.
So thank you, Barry, for everything.
Car crazy, baby.
There you go. Barry McGuire, everybody.
Thank you
very much. And I'll have back some more guests right up here on the stage in a moment.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Welcome to SEMA, everybody. And thanks to all our friends at Shell and Pennzoil for putting together an amazing display of cars. I'm Alan Taylor. I do a radio show and now a television show called The Drive. I think there's another guy here that has a television show. His name is Wayne Carini.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good deal.
What is that Motor Trend I see on your badge there? What the heck is going on there?
Well, you know, we have this Motor Trend thing, you know, the Velocity, and they sort of got together, and it's working out really well.
I know. It's interesting because I spent a lot of years, as did BJ, at Motor Trend, and so it's kind of fun. Well, I'm Alan Taylor. This is Wayne Carini on the Pioneering Performance Stage here at Shell. And Wayne, first of all, love you. Love your show. Love what you do. I'm dying to know what happened at Pebble Beach. That was the last time I saw you. You're with a 54 Studebaker.
Yeah, 54 Studebaker.
It was original paint job. It had 7,400 miles.
Boy, you got a good memory.
And I remember thinking, where do you find these things?
In Pittsburgh.
And he goes, I found it in her garage, which was great. The lady was there.
Yeah.
You were getting judged when I was talking to you and filming. And then I had to get out of the way. So where did you end up with that?
We took second place.
Second.
Second.
Not bad on that.
Not
on that
bad
field.
At all, especially
oh
for
gosh.
A Studebaker.
Right. You know, who would have thought, right?
A post-war Studebaker, you wow. know, being on the lawn at Pebble Beach was something. So, yeah.
Yeah, no
We're
doubt
really proud
about
of that.
It.
Yeah.
So, tell the world about you, your show. Just give us, like, the elevator pitch on Wayne Carini. What do you tell people when they say, what do you do?
I restore cars, and I get the TV cameras follow me around, and we share our experiences with people all over the world. You know, we're in, I don't know, 42 countries, something like that
right.
now. I mean, it's just amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
And it all happened because of an article in the New York Times about me, and my production guy, Jim Ostrowski, read that, and... he called me up the next day and said, I'd like to do a TV show about you. And that was 12 years ago. And 192 episodes later, here we are.
192 episodes. And he has told so many people, it's none of your business. I always love that about you.
That's right.
When somebody says, well, what'd you pay? How much did you make? None of your business.
That's right.
This is my business.
That's right. I mean, that's the way it should be.
So what are you doing here at SEMA? What's going on?
Well, we're here with Velocity, yep. and we're going to be doing a great stage presentation.
Bunch what kind of us a presentation? What?
Well, I think that Chris Jacobs is going to get up on stage, and it's going to be sort of like the Tonight Show, where we go up and we get on the couch, you know,
right.
we talk about all of our things we've been doing. So I'm going to be appearing, I think, with Mike and Ant from Wheeler Dealers.
They're going to be here any second.
They
we'll
are.
Have to bring them up here. That's too funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, there's
yeah,
next.
Yeah, so we're going to appear together, and then, you know, I'd make another appearances for different companies. And you and I will be together on Thursday at the Craftsman booth.
Stage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know,
it's good stuff.
We're real busy. My cousin Bill was around here somewhere.
Bill?
Where's Bill?
Cousin Bill?
Where's cousin Bill? Anyways, it's the one time a year that we connect together and we're able to hang out for a few days together. It's really great.
You know what? And that's the thing about, you know, of course, this stage in particular, you get to see these folks and see them, you know, every year they're here, they're doing their thing, but really we get to see each other.
Well, and the same thing out here, you know, all the people that are here,
right.
and they see people that they only see at SEMA, and they rekindle those friendships, and it's a really nice experience. It really is. You know,
is,
car
no
guys
questions.
Are really good people, car
and gals
girls,
too.
Yeah, and gals too, and to be here and to be amongst your friends and enjoy what we enjoy so much is automobiles, and it means so much to us.
So, any projects you got in the shop that are kind of special, up and coming? I want the world to know about.
We're doing a Di Tommaso Mangusta at the present time that belongs to David Robinson, who's the drummer of the Cars.
Oh, nice,
so
right?
David, we're doing a project for him. We're doing another Bugatti. You know, just some cool stuff. Allard J2X.
Yeah, yeah.
A Jag SS100.
Very good, very good. All right, I want to bring another person up here just for fun because the cool thing about what we do here. This is Roger. Roger, meet Wayne.
Yeah, we
here.
Know Roger.
So Roger owns ClassicCars.com, and Wayne is a guy who's constantly kind of, you know, looking for classic cars. So, I mean, it's so interesting, right? He's got cars for sale, 50,000 classic cars. Do you ever look on places like ClassicCars.com to find cars to buy?
We look everywhere. I mean, you know, Craigslist, ClassicCars.com,
seriously?
eBay, you know, bring a trailer. You know, we look everywhere.
What do you look for? Because I think for these folks out here, when you're looking for a car, what do you look for? I mean, does something just spark your attention? Are you looking for a certain year, make, and model?
Not really. You know, I just got to look and say, wow, that's a cool car. And next thing you know, I click on it and I find out more about it. I'm not necessarily looking for anything, but you never know. I mean, it just sparks an interest.
Right,
And then you go, geez, I'd like to own that car. Next thing you know, you're bidding on it. You go to an auction or you go online and you try to buy it. And it's a whole experience.
It is. And you don't know. It's like, wow, I never thought about one of those, but I kind of like the look of that.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
I bought my one of my kids called me and go, Dad, there's a little Triumph Spitfire. And I go, Spitfire, send me a picture of it. So he sends me the picture of it. And in the background was an old Jaguar. So I called the guy and I go, are you selling the Jaguar too? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, what if I made you a deal to buy both of them? And I bought both of them, you know?
You never know.
Right?
You
I mean, that's
absolutely
the fun
never
thing
know.
About
that's
the
what's good about your site.
That is too
you
funny.
Know?
All right, I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with some more fun talk right here at the Pioneering Performance Stage. What I want, you got it in mind.
stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Hurry into the Dodge Big Finish event. That's the new holiday greeting in Santa's workshop, and now he's even upgrading his ride. Like Charger, America's only four-door muscle car. Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Durango, the most technologically advanced, fuel-efficient, and powerful V8 in its class. Santa wants his sleigh to really fly.
Ho, ho, go!
Hurry in for great deals at the Dodge Big Finish event. Based on 2019 Ward's Midsize Sport Utility Vehicle segment, available V8 based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
I'm Alan Taylor, and welcome to SEMA, everybody. Wayne Carini, Roger from ClassicCars.com. Hold on, I'm going to bring another guy up here. Hold on. Mike Brewer, everybody, from Wheeler Dealers. Look at these guys. If you cannot learn right now how to buy a classic car or fix a classic car or sell a classic car on this stage, I don't know. You got the best crew of people right here right now, because this one here can tell you all about the cars over in Europe and a little bit about the American cars. This one here can tell you about all the cars that are in America that are from Europe and a lot about American cars. And that one there will tell you how to sell them all on his website, classiccar.com.
This is what it's all about, though, coming to SEMA. You know, you get to see good buddies and make new friends.
Yeah.
And be interviewed by the best interviewer in the world. So, I mean, this is wonderful stuff.
You know what? So, does anybody have a question that they would love to ask any of these guys? Because I got a microphone. If you have a question, step up to the stage and raise your hand, and I'll bring the mic over there. Meanwhile, I'll ask a question. But you know what's funny is people are afraid to ask, right?
Don't be afraid. Yeah, no, don't be afraid. You can ask us anything you like. You know.
Look at it. They're standing there going, I know I got a question. But
ask Mike how late he was out last night.
Yes. Don't ask me that. I was out late last night. We went to a dinner, me and Wayne, last night, and we're on somebody else's budget. So once you're on somebody else's budget at a free meal, one glass of wine won't do it. In fact, one bottle of wine won't do it. And I think several bottles of wine later.
And I didn't go with him, so thank goodness. And I went to bed.
After that, I found the world of free cocktails. And yes, I don't remember really what happened later on.
Oh, that's too funny.
What goes in Vegas stays in Vegas, so make sure you keep that secret.
No, it's not how it goes. It's what happens.
What happens, yes.
Goes in Vegas.
Yeah, what happens.
That's the British.
That's how drunk I was.
So, Roger, what advice do you have about selling a classic car? You have 50,000 classic cars for sale at classiccars.com.
So one of the biggest problems, of course, is that everybody thinks their car is worth more than it actually is. And the nice thing about having so many cars on the site is that you can do some comparison shopping yourself. So that's what we advise everybody to do. Go out there and see what the prices are in real time, basically. So that's probably one of my biggest things that we can do.
And Wayne, how would you add to that? Do you agree with that? To go comparison shopping or looking?
Well, I mean, people always ask me what their car is worth.
Right.
You know, what's my 66 Plymouth Belvedere worth?
Right.
You know, and you know, I don't appraise cars for a living, so I always say go on websites like ClassicCars.com, see what's out there, see what they're selling for, and that's going to give you a good range. Of course, there's Hagerty online. You know, their valuation tools. Yep. There's many different ways of seeing it. Personally, I just have a gut feeling what something's worth.
Yes, we've talked about that before.
It just comes from your gut. I mean, you know, you got to be a little comfortable with it.
Well, okay, wait. There's a lot of gut right here, so I want to hear your opinion.
There is a lot of gut. It's my American diet. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm loving my time here.
Everything in wretched excess.
Seriously, I'm eating it. I love it. I mean, what these two guys said is correct, but also be wary of the cars that have been, because somebody may think that their 1968 Mustang that looks like a Bullitt tribute car.
No, the real Bullitt.
Yeah, I know, but somebody may think that their tribute car is worth $100,000 and they've got it advertised out there forever. It's online forever. And just because it's out there for $100,000, it doesn't mean to say your car's worth $100,000.
Right.
And you have to be wary of that. And, you know, the correct thing to do, and me and Wayne get asked this 1,000 times a day, you know, how to value a car, the correct thing to do is go and look at what cars are selling for, not necessarily what they're advertised for, but what they're selling for. And there are great ways to do that. One of the ways is to look through the auction catalogs, go on to past auctions and see what's sold and what they're selling for. And that's a really useful tool to find out what your car's worth. And be realistic, you know, just be realistic. The amount of times me and Wayne have stood together at, say, Barrett Jackson, and a car comes across the block. I'll give you an example. There was a 1956 F1 truck that came across the block, and it was part of the Ron Pratt collection. And once, I think just once, Boyd Coddington lent on it. Okay, so his name got mentioned in the sale.
He just leaned on it.
He leaned on it. Yeah. And it went for sale for something like $150,000.
Right.
So everybody else in the world then who's got an F1 truck all of a sudden thought, well, mine's got to be worth $100,000. And it sort of destroyed the prices in a short period of time of those trucks. So you have to be realistic.
Yeah. So is there a car, Wayne, that you are jonesing to have right now? I mean, a Porsche 911 from a certain a Bugatti, a Jaguar, an old Austin Healey. You know, is there anything? Or have you had so many that you're like, you're waiting for that gut feeling, that's the one?
Well, you know, I've got a list of cars.
Oh, you
know,
do have a list?
Know, there's a list, you know, and people say, you know, it's like a bucket list. And they say, well, what happens when you've done all those things and bought all those cars? I say, well, we just turn the page and we make a new list.
Oh.
That's all. But, right? You know, we've got a few cars on that list. One was a GT350 Mustang that I always thought that, you know, I should buy and have. So I've bought and sold four or five of them. But I found one the other day, and I bought it, and it may stay in the collection now because I realize how precious those cars are,
okay,
how cool they are. So Mustang GT350, of course, made by Carroll Shelby and all his guys, wasn't just a Mustang. It was a race car. It was a true race car. Everything was changed on that car. So to drive one, drive a regular Mustang, drive a GT350, totally different. So, you know, sometimes I don't chase after something, but when something comes in front of me that I've really wanted for a long period of time, I buy it.
All right, I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with some more fun talk right here at the Pioneering Performance Stage. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Wayne Carini on the Pioneering Performance Stage here at Shell. Mike Brewer and Roger from ClassicCars.com. So I drive a Demon mostly everywhere I go, and you hear that noise in the background, all the burning out. I've already burned through a set of tires.
How many points you got on your license?
I haven't gotten caught yet. I've spun the car at 110 miles an hour. Just trying to show off a little bit. Be careful. That's all I can tell you.
And you've got one as well, Wayne.
Yeah, I've got one. I got
amazing.
An orange one. Yeah.
How many miles you got on it?
37.
I put 37 miles before I even moved it.
37
the
miles,
back
that's
tires
it.
Were just rolling.
I haven't had time. I've just been so busy. We've been on the road filming, doing so many things, so yeah.
My car's got 6,000 miles on it, but I think the car's only gone about 3,000 miles. Yeah. Just the back tires
back
are gone.
Back tires, so. Yeah.
Have you sold any real high-end cars at ClassicCar.com?
Yeah, a lot of our cars are obviously from muscle car era. So a lot of that.
I mean, $200,000-$300,000.
Oh, we've actually sold million-dollar cars.
Are you
as well.
Serious?
Oh yeah, no,
wow.
No, on the site.
And these are for sale by owner cars.
Pardon?
Some for of them, sale by
yeah,
owners.
Some
yeah.
of them are. And the other, of course, on the other side of that, we also have $5,000 cars.
Right.
You know, that people use for parts or whatever, or just
wow.
as project cars to fix up. So, it's a lot of fun looking through it. You know, part of classic cars is just passion-based anyway. You know, it's things that we grew up with, a special memory or something, which makes that car really special, no matter what it was. We went by a Corvair a little while ago today, and there were a few folks going, wow, a Corvair. And to other folks, it might be nothing, you know, but to these folks, it's something real, real special. When we talk to our customers, that's a lot of fun.
Yep.
I mean, it's just great to see that happiness, you know, when they actually buy something that they love. So it's great.
Wayne, what is the, you know, we just heard this kind of a story. Is there any stories in your past, any wild things like that that you've just walked up to a car and went, this is a very rare car, or something like that, to where you're just shaking your head going, like he just did. Have you had that happen?
What you got to watch out for is when you have a very rare car, you don't let certain friends drive it. So Mike and I and Michelle went over to a car show a few weeks ago in Connecticut, in Massachusetts, and I let Mike drive my Ferrari. Oh, my gosh. I don't know about that. All I heard is, rum, rum, rum. He must have had that tack just pegged the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
I'm looking around and I'm going, why are you doing this? And he was having a ball. We were in a parade, and he wanted to make sure everybody knew it was Mike Brewer's coming.
Yeah.
So, just, you know, it's not every day you get to jump in a 59 250 Testarossa and a Ferrari, and when you're behind the wheel of that car and it belongs to your buddy, you're just going, oh my God, you know, rum, rum. And I just, honestly, if you've seen the videos online on my social media feed, you'll see the absolute joy that a car can give somebody.
And then you're going to see my face as I'm looking in the mirror going, it's going to explode.
It's going to pop.
The smoke is going to start pouring out from under the hood.
Seriously,
and it didn't, though.
It didn't. The car was so strong, so powerful, so visual. It was just intense, and I urge you to go and find a bit of film of me and Michelle driving it, and just look at what a car can do to you.
There was a lot of smiles that
day,
that's
car,
for sure.
A car can change your life, and that car changed my life. It was
all just
incredible.
What does your wife drive?
Michelle, she drives absolutely everything at a million miles an hour. Michelle drives she drives the fastest car in the world when she's behind the wheel.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. I think Michelle's the world's greatest unknown Formula One race driver. She drives everywhere on the door handles, literally. And,
what?
Yeah, literally. I mean, she puts... we come out of an event in London recently. I fell asleep. We're driving back on the motorway or freeway going back to our house. I nodded off, and I woke up, and with one eye, I looked across at the tack, at the speedo, and we were doing 130 miles an hour.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
And I shut my eye again and thought, just go back to sleep. It'll be over soon. That's how she drives.
What does your wife drive, Wayne?
My wife drives, she drives an Atlas, a VW Atlas right now.
Really?
Yeah,
we
bought her new Atlas. We really like it.
Nice.
Yeah, so we have
nice
a grandson
people.
Now, and with all the crew getting
right
in.
Right on, grandson. Yeah. Grandkids. You got any grandkids yet?
Not yet, no.
Yeah.
Still young.
Connor's
still young.
The best.
Not like you old boys up here.
So, yeah, she drives an Atlas, and she's not really a car person.
Yeah.
So she just, you know, shakes her
she's
head.
Happy
and go,
with
yeah,
it.
Just,
my wife drives
whatever.
A Fiat 500 Abarth.
No, that's
loves
cool.
It.
Great car.
That's cool.
What about you, Rod?
My wife drives a Mercedes, but she loves to drive the Tesla, which is a very fast car, but she drives it so slow.
Isn't
it's
that
incredible.
Funny.
Exactly.
She's conserving energy.
She's conserving energy.
John
exactly.
D'Agostino, come up here. There are builders out there in the world that I think the world sees their work every so often, and they have no idea. And, you know, this guy, John, is one of those kind of guys. I just want to have him come up and see what he drives and what his wife drives, introduce him to the world. Welcome, everybody, John D'Agostino. And this guy goes all over the world, and we share a birthday. Happy birthday, June.
Well, that's right.
June 21st.
June 21st.
See that?
Yeah, but I won't say what year.
No, don't say it, please. So tell the world, what do you drive?
Actually, I drive a 2011 Lincoln MKX that actually Ford gave me back then. That's my daily car. Then I bought a used 500 SL500 just about a year ago. Talk about miles. I've put 20 miles on the car in 1 year. It's been in my garage. I had the oil changed. I love the car, but I have a four-car garage, and that one car is hard to get out. I have to move two others to get it out, so I just leave it there. Then I just talk about, you just said something about a Fiat. Last week, I was over at the Lexus dealership. I brought my wife's older LS430. I think it's like a 2006 or whatever, to get a serviced. So there was this black 500E. It was a 2016, electric. They just turned the car in about 2 hours earlier. They cleaned it up, put it on the lot, and I says, you know what? I'll come the next day and pick up the LS. Let me just take this home. Last year, I did the same thing, and I bought the wife an SC430, another one. She has two of those. So I did the same thing twice. So anyway, I brought this thing home thinking the wife, she's going to like it, and she loved it. So I went back the next day. I bought it. And it's a black one. It's got the black leather with the red insert, with the black and red steering wheel. I drove it one time, and it's a ball. That thing is like a go-kart. I mean, it's an electric car, full electric.
And that's the thing. And you know what? Fiat, I've had two now, and everybody says, you know, fix it again, Tony. I go, I've put 80,000 miles on two Fiats and never had a problem. Tell the world a little bit about John D'Agostino, because I see you all over the world. What do you do? Why should people know you?
Well, I started this my 50th year. building cars. I started actually back in 67, and I had a car that a 56 Chevy, and I've only built one Chevy in my life. Other than that, I've built a lot of Mercurys, Oldsmobiles, Cadillacs, Packards, but I just ended up showing it in local car shows. I done well. I used to see cars go by my house. Friends like Richard Zocchi, Sino, all the Italian boys, they had cars built by Barris and Winfield, Starboard, Balon. So I knew when I was 15 years old I wanted one of the cars. My dad took me at an early age of 8 years old to the Oakland Grand National Roadster Show. And we ended up, actually, since then, I've built over 100 cars, owned over 100. I have about 4 or 5 completed custom cars right now. And I'm always thinking, custom with a K. C means contemporary, K means traditional when the word custom. I'm building a 41 CAD. That's my next car. It's a true Carson top, convertible header bow. It's going to come out around June or July. I'll debut it here, and then I'll send it all over the world. Just got back from Norway, actually, last night at midnight. Oslo Motor Show.
These are the people that are walking amongst you guys out here. Guys like Wayne Carini, guys like Mike Brewer, Roger from ClassicCars.com. You don't know who you're walking amongst. The greats are here, and you're amongst them, and many of you guys are them as well. Thank you guys all for being here with us at the stage today. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Roger. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with another guest.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Here we are at the live stage at Shell. And welcome to SEMA, everybody. I get my time on the stage, one-on-one with some of these pioneers of performance. And thanks to all our friends at Shell and Pennzoil for putting together an amazing display of cars. I'm Alan Taylor. I do a radio show and now a television show called The Drive. All right, our next guest, who do we have? I have some amazing guests that are going to be on the stage here. And tell the world who you are. Quick, hurry up. Don't slow down.
Shag.
Amanda Martin.
Joe, and we have a show called Iron Resurrection.
Iron Resurrection, everybody, in the house. Guys, so give us the quick update.
Keep it down.
On
keep
Iron
it
Resurrection.
Down.
You guys are out of where?
We are out of Austin area, west of Austin.
So out of Austin, Texas.
Yes, yes.
I saw Jesse James here. He lives in Austin. You ever see him?
Jesse's our neighbor.
Neighbor.
He's really close.
And, nice.
Yeah.
So tell us about Iron Resurrection, for those who haven't seen Iron Resurrection.
Well, it's a restoration show, customization. We go out and try to find the cars just like every shop does.
He's the worker, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the worker. We did this last time.
Yeah.
I'm going to him, and he's not the one that talks. He's the humble one.
Yeah.
Very humble.
With the big voice over there.
So, Iron Resurrection, Martin Brothers Customs. We find projects and we build them. But the cool thing and what's different is that Joe is from concept to creation, metalwork, paint, everything. So, that I think that's what makes our show different.
So, Amanda, you go by Amanda. Mandy, what do you go by?
I'll go by either.
Okay. Amanda, we'll just make it safe. What do you do on the show?
Yeah, somebody said it. I keep Shag in check. That's exactly what I do.
Show.
Big job.
That's it.
That's it. Tell us about yourself and what you do with the show.
Well, I mean,
it's a family affair, isn't it?
It is a family affair. You know, I get to work alongside my husband, and I get to go out on the road with Shag, and we get the fun job, actually.
Yeah, we actually have the most fun.
Yeah, we get to go out, and we hit all these places all over Texas that have, you know, all kinds of cars and parts, and, you know, we dig through them and pick through them and bring back what we
the
want.
The easy part.
The easy part. Well, you said, you know, you said family affair. Jason, the brother in Martin Brothers is the producer of the show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I was with you last time.
No.
He wasn't.
No.
Okay. My memory's not good.
Yes. We'll just go with yes. Yes.
I'm getting older. Anyway, well, so second, third season, how many seasons now?
Tonight is the finale of the third season.
Okay, tonight?
Yeah, tonight.
On Velocity?
On Velocity.
Yes.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Tonight.
Where's SEMA?
I know.
I guess that's why they have DVRs, right?
Yeah.
So, fantastic. Well, so any projects? I mean, what are they going to see if they can't see it tonight? What's the episode about? Do you remember?
It's a third-gen Nova. Nothing too exotic, but we just pretty jam-up car.
And what are you doing here at SEMA? You guys got anything you're showing?
We're just hanging out with the sponsors and just hanging around, meeting people and supporting our sponsors.
Who are some of the sponsors? You're going to be at their booths or anything?
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, there's House of Color, Ingersoll Rand, Eddie Motorsports, Classic Industries.
SADA.
Oh, gosh.
You guys got to come over and come over to the Craftsman stage and visit me over there, too.
We'd love to, man.
So what is the favorite car in the whole world, real quick? What would you, if you could buy, I got a demon, right? Favorite car in the whole world right now. 0 to 62.3 seconds. Crazy. What would you buy if you could buy anything besides a Karmann Ghia?
That's a tough one, really. I got a list of probably 20.
He's got a big list. What do you drive, Amanda?
Well, I have a Karmann Ghia. If you watch the show, you saw it built, and I also have a little Lexus.
And you actually drive it?
Yeah, I do.
Nice.
It's a ball.
Shag, the Shagadelic.
Favorite car? Cadillac, old Cadillac convertible.
Old Cadillac.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, you guys watch Iron Resurrection tonight.
Tonight.
On Velocity Channel. Guys, thanks for jumping up on stage real quick.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, I'm Alan Taylor from The Drive. I also work with ClassicCars.com, and we'll be right back with some more fun talk right here at the Pioneering Performance Stage.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Live talk today here on the Shell Pioneering Performance Stage. I'm Alan Taylor, and we're going to have some great guests for you. Some celebrities, some racers, and some classic car auction stuff with Craig Jackson. First up, we have Antron Brown, NHRA Top Fuel Champion. Antron, come on up. AB.
Doing good, baby. How you doing?
Good to see you, man.
All right,
have
brother.
A seat.
All right.
Wow. I don't know if you guys know this man's story. He tells it every now and then. I'm going to ask for like the elevator pitch. I love this story. It's the story of perseverance. And we hear about perseverance all the time, but AB has got one of those great stories. Give it to us.
When I first started in this sport, a lot of people don't understand how I got here. They're like, where did you come from? You know, I came from the motorcycle realm, and the hardest deal about it was is that to get out here and to be a professional racer is like my family didn't have that lineage. We were those sportsman racers, that weekend warrior. Worked hard Monday through Friday, and we spent all of our money on Saturday and Sunday at the racetrack. So with that being said, is that it was one of those deals where I just put myself out around it. And when I was in college, I did an internship out on the professional race team. And when I did it, they didn't understand that I could weld, I could work, that I could machine, that I actually can build it race engines.
You showed up ready to do whatever it took.
That's right. And I was going there for a business class, a total quality management class, just to try to make their business better. I ended up working on a race team. They offered me a part-time job for $100 a day. And I looked at it, I said, they're going to pay me $100 a day to do what I love? I said, this ain't right. And then I dug in, and once I got in there, lo and behold, I saved up my money, and I sent myself to drag racing school. Never told nobody. I said, because only thing I wanted to do was, like, take a pro stock motorcycle down drag strip one time. If I could do that, that was my number one thing on my bucket list, and I let it go, or build me one day when I could afford to or something. And lo and behold, that next year when I was working on that race team, they looked at me and they go, we stunk it up that weekend at the racetrack. We hardly qualified, lost first round, and our rider at the time had to go do a convention, autographs, and they go, we can't test today. Ricky Gatson goes, well, I got to go do this convention. Dude, ain't going to be able to test today. And I looked at the team manager at the time, and I said, why don't you let me ride the bike? And it's like, they looked at me like, what? AB, man, we know you want to ride this thing, but you got to have your license. And I went back in my backpack. I pulled out them license from that guy from last year. Bam. And it's one of those deals where you got to be ready for when opportunity comes. And I got to test the bike, got to do it more and more often. And lo and behold, Troy Vincent started a race team, a professional race team the next year. And he gave me a shot to actually race because he saw me testing those bikes at the drag strip. That's how it all started.
So what this is a story of an entrepreneur, a guy who shows up, he makes sure he's got, I think, what it takes in his own mind before he even knows what that is. Like, I better have my license, I better have my tools, I better have my skills in place, and then just show up and keep showing up. This whole thing reminds me of the story of my friend Rudy Rudiger, the movie Rudy, you guys have all seen it. He got to play 28 or 29 seconds, but they won the game because of him. So, I mean, at the end of the day, just showing up is the most important thing. But you also got to show up and be ready and be skilled, you know. And so how much of an entrepreneur are you? Do you feel like you're an entrepreneur?
You're an entrepreneur every day. I mean, what I do on the racetrack is my craft. That's my main office. But I do so many things outside of racing. Like, you know, I was a host of Top Gear America. I do different other TV shows. And I'm co-hosting another show that's coming up here pretty soon. So it's different things that I do outside of that, and I also market, and I also do keynote speaking. So I'm across the board in so many different areas. And you know what? The funny part is I never knew that my racing talents was going to take me to these different venues and to represent other companies, to be the forefront, to be their spokesperson for them. So when you start looking at all this other stuff that you do and shooting commercials and different stuff of that nature, you're like, man, I ask myself, what don't I do? I feel like I'm a Jamaican. I got five jobs all the time. That's what I tell people. I got five jobs, man.
But you know what? You just said something that struck me because, you know, there's people all over the world to be watching this video. And I would love for you to give them, you're a keynote speaker, you said, give them a little pep talk. Because if you didn't take that, that motivational moment, that entrepreneurial spirit and run with it, you wouldn't have all these five jobs.
Well, you know what I tell people all the time? Is that no matter what you do in life, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to go through something. Hard work is not something that you tell people they have to do. That's a must for everybody now. But the difference of it is to unsettle yourself, get yourself uncomfortable, do things that you've never done before, because that's the only way that you grow. And that's one of my key things I tell them, to have integrity. That means doing the right thing when nobody's watching, because you think they're not watching. They are watching. And you know what beats resistance? One thing that beats resistance is persistence. You stay after it over and over and over again. Eventually, you're either going to climb that wall or climb that mountain, or you're going to bust that door wide open. And when you do, just be prepared to take that opportunity and take it to the next level.
All right. I'm Alan Taylor from The Drive. I also work with ClassicCars.com. And we'll be right back with some more fun talk right here at the Pioneering Performance Stage.
Tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Here we are at the live stage at Shell. Thanks to all our friends at Shell and Pennzoil for putting together an amazing display of cars. I'm Alan Taylor. I do a radio show and now a television show called The Drive. We are talking with Antron Brown. And I heard, I think it was Simon Sinek say, consistency over intensity.
Yes.
You got to be intense, but man, you've got to be consistent. More importantly, show up every day, show up early. Just showing up early is the opportunity sometimes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because you're showing that you're trustworthy, that you're there, that you're dependable. They can rely on you.
That you care.
Exactly. It's like a performance part. It's not the cheapest part. If you want performance, you got to pay for it. Well, I drive race cars week in and week out that go over 330 miles an hour. And the thing about it is people go, all right, like in our race car, how long does that oil have to last for? Right? For a minute and a half, they say, well, how good is it be? It's got to be damn good when you're making over 12,000 horsepower. So you have to lean. You need something that's reliable that you could trust because it's not just about winning races. That's my life sitting behind that steering wheel. And I've been there before. A lot of people don't realize I blew up, and it was not because it was an inferior part of my car. It's because the oil that we were running at the time wasn't good stuff.
Whew.
And I made the change.
There you go.
Made the switch.
What about family? Tell us about family a little bit.
Family, you know, I always put God first, and family always comes right after that. And thing about my family is my life. Like, I look at all my kids and everybody, and, like, you know, everybody that's in my wheelhouse, I lean on them. They are my support mechanism, and I strive to be great every day because it's not just about me. It's about what I have behind me, because I want to show them the example of what I want them to be. I want them to be like me, but much better than me. I want them to take it to the next tier, next level. And I always look at them, I said, kids, you only get out of life what you put in. And every day is a brand new day to smile and to go after something. So if you wake up, hit it with a full steam of intensity and just put all your heart that you got into it.
I'm pleased to know you, really. You bring a lot of inspiration. But what I want to know is your biggest mistake that was the biggest mistake that did the most good for you in your life. Because truly, we all make mistakes. But at the end of the day, it's how you deal with that mistake that takes you to the next level.
You know, I think one of the craziest part is I never looked as a mistake as something that, yeah, it's a mistake at the time. But the thing about it is something that's when you do your most learning and growing because you messed up.
A mistake is
when you mess up. And the thing about it is I put myself in numerous situations where I messed up a lot. But one thing that I could tell you, one of my biggest mistakes that I think it was to this point is when I went to college on a full track and field scholarship. Okay, a lot of people doesn't know. Some people know it about me, and I ran quick enough times to actually get me to go to, like, the Olympic trials and different stuff of that nature in 100 meters. And I ran 100, 200 long jump, and I ran indoor track, and I was ranked number one in the whole country for JUCO college at one time and actually set a record there. And the craziest part of it was that you can't rewind and do the Olympics when you get older. You get what I mean? But that's one thing that I always regret because I went racing. I decided to go racing when I was 20 years old because I got that full ride, and I was halfway through my college career, and I said, this is what I truly love. But at the same point is that if I went there, I don't think I would be where I'm at right now either. So it's like you throw it up. I love where I'm at because I took a chance. But I always look back and say, man, what could I have done over there? You know what I mean? But I don't look at it as a mistake. I think that the good Lord put me exactly where I needed to be, and all the people that I got to integrate with and actually meet, and relationships that I got to build, and where I'm at right now in my career. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a three-time NHRA Top Fuel World Champion. Got over, I don't know how many wins now, but a lot of wins in the books, and I have no regrets.
Give it up for Antron Brown, everybody. AB.
Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Great guy. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
You're the best. Seriously.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with some more fun talk right here at the Pioneering Performance Stage. My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I'm Alan Taylor, and my show that I do is called The Drive with Alan Taylor. Joe Ray.
Alan, how are you?
How you doing, man? Again. I'll tell you what, this show, I mean, every kind of car in the world that we've ever seen, and some we haven't, but most of them that are the ones that stop you in your tracks, no matter who you are cars from the lowrider world, because the craftsmen and the craftspeople that work on these cars put their life and their soul into them. So much so that they put so much time and energy that you have to stand there and go, oh my gosh. Maybe you could talk about Lowrider and where you guys are at and what you've been doing and what you got in the booth here. I think you got one down toward the end over there, I saw.
Yeah, I have an Eldorado Cadillac. It took me about eight years.
Wait a minute, this is yours?
That's mine. It's known as the Shell Dorado for this year.
Nice.
My first time, just broke it out.
Shell Dorado for Shell Pioneering Performance Stage. Great.
Lowrider's been around forever. As soon as the first car was lower, that's what the name came from. But Lowrider Magazine has been around for over 40 years. It continues to grow. And the style of cars continue to grow because of events like SEMA. I've been here for about 20 years. And it still fails to amaze me all the designs and ideas and innovations everybody here has. You know, in all auto industries, I was at the PPG booth yesterday, and they have a 57 Chevy, and it has a chop top, and the bumper face of it, I know everybody, the hot rod style and the muscle cars, they're taking the bumpers and they're sinking them in closer, right? No, they're cutting off the face off the bumper of a 57 Chevy, just the outer shell, and putting that on, and it's just like, it's 10 years from now, people would probably get to that, and they're doing that already. There's always something innovative that somebody comes up with, and I've copied it, and I passed it along, and we all continue to go. I mean, there's lowriders, there's four bys, there's motorcycles, but it's a great hobby, it's a great culture. It keeps us all out of trouble. And of course, there's a lot of money involved in it, but, you know, like events like this, you know, everything has a lowrider influence. But that influence it's brought up by the old vans. It's brought up by some of the cars that are here. So we're all the same, man. We're all just car lovers.
Yeah. No, it's funny because when I grew up in Southern California, I needed a place to work on cars and stuff. And a buddy of mine's dad owned Juan's Automotive.
Uh-huh.
And it was, it was Lowriderville. So I grew up in all that. And I used to go there at night and use their shop to work on my cars with his son. And it's funny how much influence they had on me. These lowriders were so intense. The guys, they were so into their cars. And it's like, man, I respected that so much because the one thing about the culture of lowriders is it's a very family-oriented experience. The whole family is working on these cars and loving on these cars. And I do believe that's what makes it such a alluring thing to, you know, to our hobby, really, is the family part of it.
And the thing about lowriders, I mean, from the late 30s to maybe the middle 80s, those are the styles of cars from the bombs and then the traditionals in the 60s, the 70s, you know, the Rivieras and the Pontiacs and all that. And it never got past some of the 80s, and those have been the cars. You don't see no brand new cars. They just don't fit the style. They're not long enough. When you lower them, you bring out the body dynamics. But, I mean, there's only so many makes and models and years that we live in the past and we continue to build. And the thing is, you know, today, like I've said before, the cars today, we kind of get used to them. They all look like bumblebees to me, the shapes and all that. But like the Eldorado that I have, I mean, you've seen 64.
Wait a minute, you called it a Sheldorado.
Well, okay,
the Sheldorado.
Everybody knows the 64 Impala and the 59 Impala because the lowriders have made those very famous, especially now the 57's popular. But the thing about lowriders is they've always wanted to be a little bit different, go against the grain. And the car I have over there in the corner is something that nobody's ever done because they were front-wheel drive.
Right.
And the tires already stuck out. So to put reverse rims or wire, classic wire wheels on it, you can't do that. So I had to change the frame on that guy.
Oh, completely, man.
Completely to do
so
that.
So how many hours do you think
rider.
You had in that?
If it took 8 years, there was a lot of, you know, afterthoughts. I had to come back and change this. And then you come to SEMA and you see some things. And, you know, that's a better idea. And you got to catch up with the times continuously.
So tell us a little bit about Hot Rod. I was going to say Hot Rod Magazine, but you're part of that whole group.
Oh,
with
yes.
Hot Rod Motor Trend and the Motor Trend group now and Velocity. And but tell us about Lowrider Magazine. And as it changed, it continued to evolve. Tell us about it for a minute.
It continues to evolve, not just only with our enthusiasts, but car builders. I mean, you know, everything is like online. Our numbers are like
going through the roof,
out of reach.
Yeah.
You know, the magazine's doing fantastic.
We're in a digital world now, so you can add all those different elements. I know you did some, you know, special webisodes of different things, and it's really cool.
I think videos are where it's at because lowriders all around the world now, and people around the world can't make it to one of our car shows or a lowrider event. Or to SEMA, but they want to watch it, you know, and they want to watch videos, and that's where it's all at today, you know. But still, you know, there's the old-fashioned guys that are still building like everybody else here. Their dream is to be in a magazine, too, and that's why they build. And because of shows and events like ours or SEMA is why they build, to show what their idea and, you know, what their personality is all about.
There you go. Joe Ray from Lowrider Magazine. Thank you, Joe. I can't wait
it's
to see
pleasure
the,
being here.
The
thank you, Alan.
Cadillac down the way called the
Sheldorado.
Sheldorado. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you
thank
very
you, everybody.
Much.
Bye-bye.
I'm Alan Taylor.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Hurry into the Dodge Big Finish event. That's the new holiday greeting in Santa's workshop, and now he's even upgrading his ride. Like Charger, America's only four-door muscle car. Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Durango, the most technologically advanced, fuel-efficient, and powerful V8 in its class. Santa wants his sleigh to really fly.
Ho, ho, go!
Hurry in for great deals at the Dodge Big Finish event. Based on 2019 Ward's Mid-Size Sport Utility Vehicle Segment, available V8 based on Ward's Middle Specialty Segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka.
I can't stop this feeling.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Here we are at the live stage at Shell. And welcome to SEMA, everybody. Coming up next, I do believe we have Tommy Pike, auto customizer. How you doing, Thomas?
Just wonderful.
T-Biscuit, T-Bone.
T-Bone.
Tommy Pike, you guys, been doing a lot of stuff with Shell and Quaker State and now Rotella. You just built a nice truck over there.
That's
right. Pretty cool, man. You are like the most versatile car customizer that I've seen. Maseratis, Fords, Dodges. Hey, whatever they bring to you, you're like, I don't care. Old, new, classic, whatever.
You just became my new favorite person.
You know, but you're, listen.
I need you to talk to some people for me.
Yeah, well, it seems like you're pretty well hooked up as it is. But you have really got a good eye. And my friends used to call me, you know, the guy with the 8-pound eyeball. Because, you know, you look at things differently and your eye is just bigger in every way and it sees the world bigger.
Yeah, I just have to say I'm very fortunate. I've been very blessed with that talent. Whatever, however you want to call it. I don't see obstacles. It doesn't matter if it's a pickup truck or a 31A model or whatever. And what I try to do is pull all the input. What are we trying to do? Is it a brand vehicle? Is it for an individual? Whatever. We take that, we stew on it, we think about it for days, weeks, months, So we try to do that. And at the end of the day, man, if you put your mind to it, and you, I always look outside the automotive industry.
Yep.
I try to do that as much as I can, which really helps me to do things a little bit differently than everybody else. So,
well, that's a good question. What inspires you? When you walk around here and you see different things, do you go, I got to do my take on that?
Yeah.
I would say, whatever that is.
I would say everything. You know, I love like old school stuff.
Yeah.
I'd love, like, I went to Chicago last week and looking at the old school buildings and just the hand craftsmanship. I think that's what I go more towards is the old school vibe. I see stuff. I'm looking over here at this black truck, loving it. I'm already getting ideas on kind of how I would twist that.
Right.
To the gold truck over there, even the BMW here.
It's kind of like fashion, isn't it? I mean, absolutely. You see somebody and you're like, you know what? I kind of like that design, that style. I don't like those bell bottoms, or I'd tweeze them in a little bit or what. But that must be that fashion world. They visualize it through seeing something else. That's what's. It's important for you to come to these shows.
Absolutely. And even walking through the hotel. I'm just walking through and I see all this fabric hanging from the ceiling. And I'm like, these guys have absolutely, this is crazy. Who would do that? And it's like, it's not that I would go hang fabric from a headliner or something, but it's inspiring. I look at it and go, man, that's really different and unique. And it works.
Yep.
So I think just looking around, man, I just try to be present everywhere I'm at, no matter what I'm doing. I'm trying to be present and take it, you know, absorb it like a sponge.
So where do you sell your cars? When you build something, do you put it on classiccars.com or something like that? Or where do you source your cars?
Well,
where do you sell the cars?
So the easy answer
is, or do you sell them?
No, I think, again, we're very different. We've built over 20 years a very good reputation of doing very unique builds. We're very detail-oriented, and we don't really have to do that. We're not like a flipper,
right?
We have customers. We have a very big backlog.
So people are standing in line, really, to buy your stuff.
We have a very big backlog, and they say, my grandfather had a 57 T-Bird, or they had a 36 Ford or whatever. And I'll be honest, I pick the client over.
You know what? Again, that's that entrepreneurial spirit that this hobby has. We're very selective who we want to work with, you know?
And I think it is. And more to me, it's not that I discriminate against any particular person.
No.
It's I want to make sure that I'm doing right by the industry.
It's got to be a good fit.
And this guy's going to take that and he's going to teach his son and his grandson and his grandson's son about our history.
Yeah.
You think about the automobile. Our country wouldn't be where it is today without it.
Oh, man. Part of America being so great is the automobile and what our hobby does for it.
And you know, so that's just our part of preserving that love for the craft and for the automobile. Like our 37 Dodge over here.
Yeah.
Just a prime example of the whole spectrum, right? You go from the beginning to the current technology.
Right.
And to me, it's more important about having people continue to love what we do, right? It impacts each and every one of us on a daily basis.
What do you think your genre is? Classic cars? Is it
everything?
It doesn't matter.
I don't have a genre. I see
that's what
everything.
I
see everything in a different way.
Yeah.
We just did a 36 Ford for a guy. Now we're doing his 67 Corvette Pro Touring deal. He's got a new Cadillac. He wants to do some stuff too. So I don't discriminate.
When you started your shop, let's talk about the entrepreneur part of this whole thing. I mean, did you know what you were doing, getting into, or was it just you and a couple of guys? Or
I don't know if I knew what I was doing.
Right. Well,
I just knew I couldn't do anything else.
That's it.
Right now,
that's it.
I don't have a plan B. We're going to be successful.
Yes.
And I'm very hard-headed and very stubborn, and I try every day when I wake up. I want to do what's right, and I want to treat people how they should be treated, and I've just stuck with that.
And, you know, it's funny. I watch you, and I've been watching you for the last 4 or 5 years. I've been working together with Shell and Pennzoil and these brands that they have. And, again, you just step up to the plate every time. What are you most proud of out of all the cars that you've built? Because I've seen some wild and crazy things.
I think the crazy part is the last one is always my favorite.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a Carroll Shelbyism.
Right?
You know, right?
Because, I mean, as we...
The next one
myself,
is my favorite, is what he says. Yeah,
right. Well, it's the thing of if you're not growing, and you know we have engineering in house now, and 3D printing, and graphic arts, and all these different things. So each one gets a little bit better.
Right. All right. What do you when I think about us as we go through our lives, we've always had that one mistake we made that actually was the biggest growing mistake we made. It's like it helped us, even though we looked at it like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? How am I going to recover? Have you ever had one of those? And then it actually became the one that launched you?
I would say the best year I had ever had in my life financially and in business was 2007. And I was complacent and wasn't really paying attention to what when I tell you I'm present, right? So I'm present in every moment now.
Yeah.
It's because I wasn't.
Right.
And I suffered big.
You were living in a comfort zone,
well,
and all of a sudden.
I lived in a comfort zone,
yep.
And then I lived in my shop. And I did the things that I had to do that was
he
necessary.
He lived in his shop, you guys. Tommy Pike.
To do what we had to do. And the thing was, it taught me that every day, it doesn't matter economy here, here, or here. You can be successful.
Yeah.
So I've started from that point to today. Of extracting every opportunity. And
right.
That was my learning moment. I fell asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
And I wound up upside down in the ditch.
Did you really?
And I
you literally fell asleep at the wheel.
Well, in business.
Okay. So, yeah, okay.
Right?
That's, so
that's the metaphor, yeah, right? But I fell asleep at the wheel and I'm hanging there and I'm like, what am I going to do?
Right, right.
And that was the road to where
you know
we
what?
Are today.
It's true. There was a loose nut behind the wheel. That's
You're
what the problem was.
You're not kidding about that.
But you know, it's like I was talking to a John Paul DeJoria, Paul Mitchell.
Absolutely.
Right? His daughter is Alexis DeJoria, yeah. Who is a top fuel dragster. But I was talking to him one day. And he said that he lived in his car. Now, the man has got two multi-billion-dollar companies.
That's right.
And, you know, Patron and Paul Mitchell. And his best times in his life was, he said, when I had to recover from that. Because now he had the eye of the tiger.
Well, that's it. That's absolutely, that's like my theme song, right? Because what you have to do, you either fall out and you disappear. You have that choice. It's one way or the other, and I'm not going backwards.
All right. Give it up for Tommy Pike. He does a great job, and you can see the vehicle he just unveiled, the 2019 Dodge with Rochelle Rotella for gasoline-powered trucks. I've always used it in diesel, and now it's available in gasoline.
That's right.
Tommy
thank
Pike,
you.
Thank you, brother.
Yes,
appreciate
sir. Thank
it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with some more fun talk right here at the Pioneering Performance Stage.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. I'm Alan Taylor, and welcome to SEMA, everybody. Tell the world who you are and what you do.
My name is Mark Gessler, and I am president and founder of the Historic Vehicle Association, and we run the National Historic Vehicle Register, which is sort of like the National Register for Historic Places, except it's for vehicles, automobiles, motorcycles, and trucks.
Love it, love it, love it. And sitting right over here is the actual Steve McQueen Bullitt Mustang. They found unrestored, completely original. Tell the story on it real quick.
Well, actually, it all got launched here at Shell back in 2016.
Yeah.
Sean Kiernan, their family had owned the car since 1974. It's been a secret in their family. And Sean had been coming out here for years. He's part of the industry. And when he came out here, he was looking for a way to get, you know, launch this in, for the 50th anniversary, which is this year. And we started the discussion in the back room, the press room here, and reached out to Ford and... 2 weeks later, the cars, we're talking to Ford, and, you know, the whole thing rolled out this year from the Detroit Auto Show.
And the last time I saw it, it was on the National Mall in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
In a glass cage, and that was amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so we do a program on the National Mall. I say it's the world's smallest car museum with the best location. One car with the best location. I mean, couldn't think of anywhere better than in front of the Capitol.
When does a car become historic? Like, I have a Dodge Demon. So would we call my serial number 8 Dodge Demon a historic car?
Well, I mean, I think when you talk about what's historic, I mean, when we landed on the moon, that moment we all knew was historic.
Right.
And I think, you know, history starts today, and it's starting right here, and that's what's important about this show. History is being made all around us here, and, you know, some of the cars that are here will be considered, you know, a touchstone to our past. And so we need to remember that. So history isn't just old cars. It's also what's happening now. We're making history, and it's being made right here at SEMA.
That is a really good point. History is being made every day. And so when...
when they decide to come out with something, you know, like a friend of mine said the other day, he said, what about the CUDA? I said, well, Plymouth is gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Dodge will take a swing at it, like I'm swinging at that fly. But maybe Dodge will take a swing at it and bring the name back. I don't know. Who knows? But, I mean, you have cars that Pontiac's gone, right? So are the last Pontiacs more historic because of that?
Well,
the brand
I mean,
is gone?
We look at informational value. So it's the first, the last, the you know, the best restored or the last remaining example of things like that are very important to us because, you know, we just did the ceremonial last Model T. I mean, that was 15 million Model Ts later. But, I mean, when you start thinking about some of the brands that have been lost, I mean, we had 2,600 brands in the United States. We're down to 9. So, I mean, any of those cars where you've got a brand that doesn't exist before, you know, today, you know, those are touchstones to our past and in a different era, in a different time when manufacturing was much more broadly based. You know, it's not down to, you know, just a few. So, but, you know, it's all that kind of stuff is really cool. And, you know, telling the story about whether it's Oldsmobile or whether it's Pontiac. And, I mean, those are our performance brands back in the day. So whether it was, you know, the Rocket 88 or the GTO, you know, that's all cool stuff. And that was, you know, big touchstone of the past in the 50s and the 60s with the GTO.
Are you guys looking for anything in particular? Are there cars you're...
We're always looking for something. Right? But, you know, it's you know what I would say is the kind of stuff that we like to curate because right now this process is all about a curated process that we, you know, put together. But we are looking for great human stories. So I say it's more
love
about
that.
People than it is about horsepower. It's about the people and, you know, this particular Mustang. And, I mean, the greatest Mustang of all time. Probably
tell that story real quick. It's worth... It's
oh,
just
yeah.
a quick story about the Mustang, the Bullet Mustang.
Well, you know, Sean Kiernan's family, they dad bought it in 1974 out of Road and Track magazine
the
ad.
Back of, it was a classified, like classiccars.com, a classified ad by owner.
Right, exactly.
Right?
And it was out of New Jersey. Bullet was spelled incorrectly. Rob Kiernan, Sean's dad, you know, rang up, and apparently he was the only guy that rang up the ad.
Can you imagine that?
So we think he spent about $3,000 for that car, and you know back then it was about $1,500 would have been the going price. So he paid up for it. But I mean he was an alpha guy and all that. So
right.
Mom drove it as she was a third grade Catholic school teacher. You'd imagine that driving
Can you
the Mustang. And you know they kept it in the family. It was put off the road in 1980. That's when Sean, who's the current owner, was born. He went home in a Omni, I think, in an Omni.
A little
bit sadder than the Fastback Mustang.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, the degree of reverence that the family had for that car from new to basically say this car was special. And when you think about that, a new movie comes out, you see it like a month later, see
right.
it a couple years later,
right.
like, you know, okay.
And here it
you know,
is.
Who knew? And
right.
now this is, you know, it's just a world-beating story. And, you know, that whole life that it had, moving from garage to garage to garage to garage to barn, and to be here, to be taken apart, put back together, and with the reverence and secrecy that it was, I mean, just added an extra aura to this story.
Great
around
story.
Steve McQueen and the Bullet Mustang.
Well, it's right here in the booth at the Shell display. Matter of fact, right over there. And thanks, Mark, Historic Vehicle Association website.
Yeah, historicvehicle.org. Go out there and check us out. And, you know, see us in Washington, D.C. every year. We have our exhibit on the National Mall. Love to
Very
have you guys
good.
Out.
Very good. It was awesome. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. I think Craig Jackson is coming up right next. I'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, here we are at the live stage at Shell. And welcome to SEMA, everybody. I get my time on the stage, one-on-one with some of these pioneers of performance, and talk about performance.
Mr. Taylor.
I've never seen anybody sell cars faster in the world. 0 to 60 cars in 1 minute. Have a seat, Mr. Craig Jackson, everybody. Barrett
Morning.
Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction and exhibition. And, well, I'm certainly glad to have you here at the stage. We've been doing some amazing things at Barrett Jackson lately. Give us a little update. The next one is in January in Scottsdale, the big one.
The big one, we have several cars here, a couple over in our booth, Art Morrison's personal car that we'll be selling. It's going to be a great year. Met with all the automotive manufacturers yesterday. The VIN number one cars we're going to be selling in Scottsdale this year is going to be mind-blowing, something like we've never done before.
That's fantastic.
And some of the manufacturers won't tell me exactly what they have, but they told me it's going to blow my mind.
Well, there you go. There's the allure of Barrett Jackson. You never know what you're going to see. World record numbers at Barrett Jackson. Nobody does it better. Does that blow your mind every single time?
It does. You know, I grew up restoring cars and just loving cars. And I think that that passion has become infectious. And trying to share our passion, putting us on television for 22 years to share that, to bring a lot of new people. Every auction is about 40% new bidders.
Yeah.
And bringing a lot of new people into the hobby is what I love. And SEMA is a perfect indicator because we started selling hot rods and resto mods during prime time back in 2004.
Right.
We sold the Lincoln for $400,000, and everybody thought that was crazy. And every year we keep backing it up. So, you know, last year we sold a resto mod Corvette for $440,000.
Good Lord.
Next year it's going to be even better. A couple of the cars here that we're going to long lead for 2020. One of the builds is $1.5 million build.
Whoa.
So you see the prices going up, the quality going up, but the diversity.
Well, I see that you have a little Bugatti here in the booth.
I do. I brought it because we're coming towards the end of our Driven Hearts campaign.
And how much have you guys raised?
I'm not allowed to say.
A lot, though. It's great. That's
their rules at the Heart Ball. But Barrett Jackson and through our customers have raised over $1 million for the American Heart Association.
It's fantastic.
And awareness. My wife's goal was to have the highest awareness so people knew the signs of stroke. And what's really satisfying is to hear from people that didn't know the signs and actually were having a stroke and went to the hospital and wrote us letters saying you saved our life.
Wow. See, that's $1 million each one of those letters right by yourself. Because what's a life worth? $1 million would be cheap.
Yeah, and that's what it my wife's, her dad's side of the family, every sibling has died of heart disease.
Wow.
We lost Dave Ressler. We lost Greg Mousy. And that really got us into wanting to do this. So we don't lose any other great customers to heart disease that could be avoided.
Yep. Well, a big thank you to Craig Jackson for all that you do for our hobby, right on down to helping folks have an awareness of heart disease. And it just shows how big this hobby is. We care about each other at the highest level. And actually, some of the auction cars were sold twice, which I call that lightning striking, you know, twice, and it happens multiple times at Barrett Jackson.
It happened at the start of the campaign with the Ressler Corvette.
Right.
It was bought by Mrs. Mousy for $200,000, redonated. Joe Riley bought it, redonated it. We took it to Florida. John and Jeanette Stalupi bought it for $180,000, redonated it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm going to probably end up buying it back at the end of this whole thing.
That's awesome.
And then in Las Vegas, the Evans donated their GT350 2015.
Yeah.
It was bought, redonated.
Amazing.
Same with Brian Frank's Thunderbird. Mrs. Mousy bought it the first time, redonated it, and sold it again. So it happened with three different cars.
That's awesome.
Throughout this year. And it really is amazing seeing the way our customers step up and help each other, because it is like a family.
It really is. It really is. Well, thank you so much. What is the dates for January for Scottsdale coming up? I think they're the 19th through the 20 something, 12th through the 20th. See, it's a
20th.
Good thing the handlers are here.
There you go.
The 12th
through the 20th.
We should know this stuff, Craig.
We should. The years roll together.
I know they do. January 12th through the 20th, Scottsdale at Westworld. If you want to have a time of your life, make sure you get out to Barrett Jackson. Thank you to one of our great partners with Shell, Craig Jackson. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you.
All right, I'm Alan Taylor from The Drive. I also work with ClassicCars.com. Well, that's about it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.